Well, the garbage is gone. Yes, I knew that was bothersome to probably most of you. You're not used to seeing that kind of thing go on. But I think the message was very clear. And at the Christmas Eve service, for those who were not here, we had a visitor, a janitor came and was cleaning things up and interrupted my sermon, which I had so prepared and was never able to proclaim, but I think the message came well through. I find it interesting that here, you know, just a couple of days ago, we're celebrating the birth of Christ, and suddenly we're here in the midst of celebrating the first Sunday of the Christmas season, and here it is, Jesus is 12 years old. Now, next week, we're going to celebrate the Epiphany, simply because normally Epiphany falls during the week, and we don't really celebrate that, and it is a major festival, so we're going to move it to Sunday. So we'll go back, but the reason being that there are very few stories about Jesus when he was young. We only have a couple. First, the story we heard Christmas Eve, and then next week we're going to hear about how the wise men come according to Matthew and pay homage to the child, and then it is from there that they learn about how Herod is after Jesus, and they go down into Egypt until Herod dies, and then they return. And then this is the only other story we have of Jesus as a youth. So it's not like, you know, when we have a child that is born among us, you know, and you talk to any grandparent and they say, well, you know, how's your new grandbaby? Oh, you want to see? You know, and we pull out a, you know, a big bill full of pictures. And I mean, we're more than happy to share with you every little detail about this child. and I find it interesting, you know, we're so happy about that. Judy has a friend who has, ever since the baby has been born, has posted pictures on Facebook every day, not once, but sometimes two, three, four times, and we hear in detail what's going on with the little baby, and which is now a one-year-old. And I don't know if this is going to go on until we find that he's an adult, and maybe even afterwards. But there's a history to that. So, I mean, even though we might laugh at that, it might be a little bit overindulgent, but there's a bit of a history, and we don't have that with Jesus as a child. And it would seem that in our gospel reading for this day, that Jesus is a bit impertinent. You know, he's not really mindful of his parents because, you know, they take off. They're thinking, you know, and it must have been a rather large group of them that had come from Nazareth down to Jerusalem, and as they do this on an annual journey. And so, like with any journey, it's kind of everybody's assuming that everyone else is responsible for each other. So that when Joseph and Mary are leaving, they're assuming Jesus is in this entourage and that somebody's minding the store, but Jesus isn't there. Kind of, I guess, the scriptural version of Home Alone. And so, it takes 5 days. You know, they go, journey's way. And then it takes another journey to come, day's journey to get back when they realize Jesus is with them. And they look for him in Jerusalem for 3 days. And it's not like they can go to the local police department or, you know, put in a missing child report or whatever else. They're on their own. And then they find Jesus in the temple. And Mary, being the mom that she was and being very typical of being a mother, is, why have you done this to us? Why have you given us this anxiety and horror? Any of you who have misplaced a child for even a few moments, and I've heard stories, that some of them are humorous, but at the time, for the parent, it wasn't humorous at all. You know, again, friends of ours who have, you know, left the daughter at a restaurant, and they thought she was in the car with them, and the other daughter was there, but she wasn't. And they're driving down the road and then suddenly realize their one daughter's not there. So they have to go back. And, of course, she's waiting there. And then she's in a panic. She thought her parents just left her there. It happens. But the interesting thing about what Luke records is not that there's any kind of punishment that's eked out meted out on Jesus, but that it just simply says after, you know, this conversation goes on, and the parents are astonished that he would say this. that it says that Mary treasured these things. Now, that's not unlike what we heard at Christmas Eve, where, you know, after the shepherds are there, and it says, according to Luke, that she pondered or she treasured all these things in her heart. She knows that there's something special about this child, Jesus, and she's beginning to realize that this special relationship she's going to have with him is going to present some moments of heartache. And she's forewarned that, actually, one other story that we have of Jesus as a child is when they present him in the temple. And Simeon and Anna, the old man and the old woman, who come as they see this child, and they sing these wonderful songs. And Anna is the one that will say that, you know, this child, what's going to happen is going to pierce your own soul. Kind of a foretelling of that there's going to be some terrible things that will happen. You kind of wonder what Mary thought about that. I don't know that I would want to know the future of my family. You know, I don't get to see them all that often, and but yet we are a family. We enjoy, when we are together, we enjoy each other's presence, and we have fun. And I'm sure you, at your Christmas celebrations, had those family gatherings as well. And you know which ones are a little bit kind of, there's always that odd one that's in the family, you know. And you can kind of, you know, there's going to be something strange that's going to happen. That's why I think the movie Christmas Vacation hits a lot of people, because you have your Aunt Bethany's and your Cousin Eddie's and all these individuals who are a little bit different, but they're family, you know? And we laugh and we have fun, and, you know, I can go back to when I was a child and thinking about the interesting people that we would have that would gather together at Thanksgiving and at Christmas time. My parents always invited somebody from the parish who was by themselves, you never knew what kind of conversation we would get off into, but it was fun, and that was family. And it's no different today as it was for Jesus and Joseph and Mary. And the thing that's unique about this is that we have a parallel story that goes on in the Old Testament, in the book of Samuel, which, you know, Hannah, Samuel's mother, prayed and prayed for a child, and she was old age, and when she was finally granted a child, she had promised to dedicate this child to God. And that's exactly what she did with Samuel. And it makes me think about how we also, as family members, are dedicated to God. That we, as we gather together, not only as our familiar family, but also as a congregation, that, you know, we have a unique relationship with each other. And it's kind of amazing that every Sunday we can get together and we can worship and we can have fellowship. We can talk about things. And we come from all kinds of backgrounds. And it's no different than your immediate family. You know, when you, if you were to come and you would visit with me and Judy and my boys and her boys, and my grandchildren and spouses, there's a whole range of interests that are in there. A whole difference of, I mean, it's kind of like having Spartans and Wolverines in the same family, you know, and because I've got, you know, I have a Buffalo Bills, well, actually I have two of them with Judy and my one son, and the other one's a Steelers fan with me, and yet when it comes to baseball, there's ones that's a Cubs fan and another, and it's very different. And we all have our own interests. If you have a question about computers, you talk to my youngest, Nathaniel. If you have a question about legal matters, you talk to my oldest son, particularly about corporate law, which I have no idea what all that involves. But if you have a question, he can answer it. And if you have a medical question, you can always talk to Judy, because she's a registered nurse. We're all different. But again, just like us here, so are we. And God has called us together in this moment and this time that we celebrate of these 12 days of Christmas, this season of light. This child is born not only back then, 2,000 years ago, but also presently in this time. And the light comes into our lives and brings us together as one. Baptism makes it that way. And even though we might not know each other very well and we're still learning, particularly between pastor and congregation, there is a sense of an understanding of love and commitment that has been made between us. There's a sense of trust. And that is only given to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit and through God's direction. Now, I want to suggest to you, and this is where it becomes, I mean, it's hard enough to be a family, to be the blanks. It can be a unique situation. Throw my brother and my sister and their families into the mix, and it really becomes interesting. We have fun, but we all have our little idiosyncrasies. You know, my brother is a retired Coast Guard petty officer, and therefore everything is done with precision. Now me, you know, I'm the opposite way. It's like, you know, it'll wait. And that would drive my brother crazy. When my father died, you know, he had things, because he thought this is the way we are to be handling things. And my sister and I, my sister would get in on it, and then I would get in on it. And it was like, you know, hey, let's just take a moment here. We can work this out. It's not a problem. I mean, we love each other very dearly. It's just that we think differently. And we have the same thing here. Being family presents itself with struggles and with hopes and dreams, as well as with sometimes failures and sometimes heartache and pain. There is no way in life that we can have a life that is just everything's going to go the way we want it to go. It doesn't work that way because we're human and because we are sinful. And what I love about the Colossians passage for today, as Paul speaks to the community in Colossae, do you see what he's saying to them? He's saying, you know, be compassionate, be caring, be kind, be loving, be Jesus, be little Christ to one another. That's what Luther tells us that we should live. And though he puts that word in there about admonishing, we all need that. No different than a parent admonishing a child for, you know, wanting to stick his finger into a socket. Oh, don't do that! You know, or to put their hand on top of the stove. You know, you tell them no, because you don't want them to get hurt. And when there are times that there are things that they could do to harm themselves or to others, yes, you do make a corrective course with that, but you do it in a loving way, not in a way that, you know, you're going to just say, well, you do this or I'm not going to love you anymore. Heaven forbid, because if that was us with God, we'd all be doomed. But instead, God simply accepts us for who we are through the gift of this child that we celebrate his birth. And it's not just as an infant, it's because of what he does as an adult that draws us to God. The fact that he lives among us, that he laughed and that he loved, that he got angry, that he knew what it was to live as we live, and then to die for us on the cross, and to rise again. That's what solidifies us as one. So I want to suggest to you as we leave this day, not only are you thinking of us as family as St. Luke's, but that you take a little step beyond that each day. You know, to look at yourself as also, you know, a family with those of Faith Lutheran or Peace Lutheran in Sparta or Zion Lutheran in Comstock Park or Bethlehem in Grand Rapids. And not just them, but there's 10,000 other ELCA churches out there. But I also want to suggest to you then that you go beyond that and recognize that there are other Lutherans out there, that we are also brothers and sisters of the Missouri Synod, the Wisconsin Synod, and even though there are differences, that we still are able to do the very things that Paul asks of us in the Colossians. And then we go beyond that, Christian community, and then those who are of other faiths, to those who are without homes, those who have no place to call their home, the refugees that we hear about that are just inundating Europe and that we struggle with and fear and all these other things that are raising up. These two are our family. And we pray to God to help us to grow in understanding and in strength and to get beyond that fear, to trust that God has placed before us in our daily encounters our brothers and sisters in Christ. So today, let's celebrate the fact that we are family. Today, let's celebrate the fact that we gather around the table and we are again fed by this wondrous word in Jesus Christ. And let us again, as we leave this place, knowing that the light of Christ this season continues to shine in us, and that that love and joy does remain in our hearts. It doesn't subside when we get to that January 5th date, the 12th day, but that it continues all year long. And it is possible. All in God's good graces. Amen.